Hi, Journey Church. So glad that you're joining us for another week of online services. Today, we're going to be continuing our series called Who is This Jesus? Where we are exploring the question of who Jesus is, as well as who he is to us. We're going to be in Mark chapter 5 and chapter 6 here in just a few moments. If you'd like to go ahead and turn your Bibles there, so long. But before we start with our sermon, I just wanted to give us a word, maybe a word to our families. You know, one of the things that I've noticed over the course of the last few weeks is that people are having a different reaction in their lives to how they need to respond or how they need to be as families. You know, a lot of us are homeschooling our kids now, which, let's be honest, is a little bit of a challenge, but we're going to do our best. And just yesterday, they announced that that's going to be extended probably for the next month. But you know, one thing that I've thought about this week is that a lot of us have lived our lives in a very fast-paced way, that we've kind of always been running from one thing to the next. We often haven't had a lot of time at home, and especially not a lot of family time. We've been very wasteful. We throw things away. We dispose of things so quickly. And maybe for a lot of us, there's been sort of a mind shift that's taking place with us right now, that we're thinking about being home with our families, that we're considering that maybe we need to be a bit more careful with our resources. And these are good things for us to experience. And I want to just encourage you, as you are at home, to maybe go and take a walk with your family, to play some board games, to just spend some time together. If you're married, to maybe just renew your bonds with each other. Put down your electronics. Just spending some time together during this time and making the most of it. And don't forget to spend time in the Word of God and to pray every single day. Now, we're going to continue the series, Who is This Jesus? And what we talked about last week was sometimes we as people, we carry our presuppositions and our ideas of who Jesus is into the text. That when we read the Bible, we don't always see the Jesus that is actually there, but we see the Jesus that we want to see. We see the Jesus that makes sense to us. We see the Jesus that fits our minds and our profiles and what we want him to be. And today we're gonna see a shift in the ministry of Jesus. The first few chapters of Mark, we see Jesus being kind of straightforward and sometimes a little blunt with people. And the reason for this is because everybody wants something from Jesus. But what Jesus has been sent to do is to proclaim the kingdom of God and to die for that cause. And people wanting something from him are kind of getting in the way of what his ultimate mission is. But in Mark chapter 5, we see that there is a slight turn for Jesus, that he realizes that these people need him, that they need something from him more than just the proclamation of the kingdom of God. Now, if you have your Bibles and you have them open to Mark chapter 5, it starts with a story like we've seen before of Jesus going to a place that a man who looks like he's lost his mind is running around in a graveyard, and Jesus heals him. Jesus takes away the demons that are in his life. But then in verse 21 of chapter 5, it tells us two different stories, and we're going to talk about these today. It says, when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him. And we see this image happening time and time again. Anywhere where Jesus gets off the boat, anywhere, any town that Jesus goes into, there is the swarm of people that want something from Jesus. It said they're all gathered around him by the lake when he lands. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. So we know that this man is a good Jew. He is one of the leaders in the synagogue. He is a religious man. He is a God-fearing man. And when he sees Jesus, he comes and he falls at his feet, which is no small thing. What he is ultimately proclaiming by his body language is that Jesus is somebody who has been sent by God. Now, you know the Gospel of Mark. We've talked about this, that Jesus is not quite ready to let everybody know who he is just yet. And it seems like only these few people on the fringes really know who Jesus is. But Jairus comes and falls at his feet. It says he pleads earnestly with him. That's a nice way of saying he begs Jesus. You know, I don't know if there's a time in your life that you can remember, maybe it's now, when you feel a little desperate. You see, all of us over the course of the last week, have been thinking about the ramifications of this quarantine and being on lockdown and schooling our kids. And we probably all have had these moments where we freaked out a little bit, or where we say, well, we're not sure of where this is going, or we don't understand what's going to happen, or what's the next step going to be? How bad is this going to get? And sometimes we get to that moment where we feel anxiety and challenge, and we think, oh my goodness, what's going to happen? It's that feeling of desperation that all of us hate, but that all of us have at some point in our lives. That's what Mark's telling us about Jairus. He comes there and he is desperate. He's taken his daughter to the temple. He's taken her to every hospital. He's even gone to some homeopathic people, and they've just done everything that they possibly can. And he's at the end of his rope. And you can almost hear him when he says the following words to Jesus later in this verse. It says, "My little daughter is dying. Please come with me. Put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." You can hear the father's desperation for his child in this story. We would do the same. Maybe in some of our own prayer life, we've used this kind of angst in the midst of what we've asked God to do for us as well. Jesus shows compassion, and it says in verse 24, so he went with him. You know, earlier in the Gospel of Mark, we see that Jesus kind of keeps somebody like this at arm's length and says, listen, this is not why I'm here. But we see the turn in Jesus in the Gospel of Mark in chapter 5, where he has compassion for Jairus and for his family. Maybe another way to ask this question for us today, when we discover who is this Jesus, is the question, what do you ask of Jesus? What are the things in your heart that you need from Jesus the most? And who does Jesus have to be to give you those things? Who do we want him to be? Do we want him to be the miracle giver, the one that's giving us the things that we absolutely need in moments of crisis? Because that changes how we see Jesus. It says a large crowd followed and pressed around Jesus as he's making his way to the house of Jairus. Now the second story, verse 25. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. I mean, we're struggling with a week of quarantine or 2 weeks of quarantine. She's been dealing with this for over a decade. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all that she had, yet instead of getting better, she got worse. This is the same as the Jairus story. He's taken her to the temple. He's taken her, you know, he's taken his daughter to the doctors. He's done all those things. And it says this woman is almost destitute because she has spent all of her money just to try to be whole and to be well. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. Because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. What do we say in our lives about Jesus? If I could just do this, if I could just ask this prayer in the right way, if I could just become this kind of person, then somehow God will do this for me. We all ask these questions, even if we don't want to admit it. She touches him. And it says, immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Now, one thing you may not know about this story is that she was not going to be allowed to go to the temple. In fact, for 12 years, she has not been able to worship because she is in the unclean category. There are rules in the Old Testament that define who is allowed to go to the temple and who is not. And because of her ailment, because of what she was struggling with, she was not allowed to be in a place of worship. She was cut off from God. You think that would make her desperate? She has no money. She has almost no faith. She tells herself, if I can just get behind Jesus, if I can just touch him, something wonderful is going to happen. Something that's important about this is that after she has been healed, she would show herself to the priest and she would be allowed back in the temple. that's something that would happen as a result. But verse 30, it says, at once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around to the crowd and he said, who touched my clothes? The disciples say, well, you see all the people crowding around you, Jesus. How are you ever going to ask who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet. We see this the same as Jairus. She comes and she worships. She comes and she fully surrenders herself to Jesus. She's trembling and is fearful. And she told him the truth. And he says to her, daughter. Now, isn't it amazing that Jairus has a daughter in the story? This woman is not the daughter of Jesus. We know that. But he calls her by that name because that name has identity. She was probably called that woman for the longest time. Jesus gives her identity, daughter, because he is the incarnate one of God. He is God Almighty. What he's saying to her is, you are a child of the King. Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. It's a beautiful story about this woman being redeemed. But now, in verse 35, we come back to story number one. While Jesus was still speaking, some of the people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader, and they said, your daughter is dead. The news that no parent, those words that no parent would ever want to hear. And then they said, why bother this teacher anymore? Overhearing this, Jesus told them, don't be afraid, just believe. Remember, just a few verses ago, he has told a woman that her faith has healed her. And now he uses those similar words and says, don't be afraid, just believe. Have faith. Stop being fearful and anxious and playing out all the scenarios. Try to understand that you are in the presence of God. But they don't, because they don't really know who he is yet. He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When he came to the house of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw this huge commotion because there's a huge amount of crowds out there and people are crying and wailing loudly. And he went to them and he says, what is all this commotion for? The child is not dead, but only asleep. But they laughed at him. And after he had put them out, he tells them, okay, get out of the house. He takes the child's father and mother and the disciples, and he goes to where the child is, and he takes her by the hand. Now, in Jewish culture, you're not allowed to touch dead people. But Jesus touches her, because that would make you unclean for at least 7 days. But Jesus touches her, just showing us the humanity of who he is, understanding that in these moments of crisis, what we need is a touch from God. And he says to her, little girl, get up. And immediately, the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. After this, they were completely astonished, but he gave them strict orders not to let anybody know about this. So Jesus is still hiding who he actually is. But what we see in this story is that Jesus is responding to the desperation of humanity. Jairus comes and makes this desperate request of Jesus. The woman doesn't make a request. She just desperately decides that she is going to touch Jesus. And we see two healing stories that take place in the midst of this. Nobody in the crowd knew what had happened to the woman. In fact, when they saw it was her, the villagers probably had this idea of saying, well, it's that woman and she shouldn't be here because we're trying to do something positive. But Jesus, in his beautiful humanity, he touches the people that are involved. The people that nobody else wants to touch. Jesus touches in their desperation and makes them whole. Beautiful reminders of who Jesus is and what he has come to do. In chapter 6, we see that Jesus sends out the 12 because he wants the kingdom, he wants his mission to be fulfilled. And he sends them out and he gives them the power over the demons. And then later in chapter 6 is the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. And we see another story where the crowds are just closing in on Jesus constantly. And he's trying to meet them where they are and using these moments as teachable moments. Jesus is constantly trying to get away from them. And then we have a statement at the end where Jesus, at the end of chapter 6, where Jesus walks on the water. And the disciples are the ones that are usually only privy to these small things. But when Jesus walks on the water to them, he uses these words about fear. He says, "Don't be afraid, it's me. Don't be afraid, it's me." When he sends them out, he says, "Don't be afraid of what you're going to encounter because you have my power." We see this mantra, this rhythm coming through the Gospel of Mark time and time and time again. Jesus constantly tells mostly his disciples to stop being afraid, to realize that he has not abandoned them, that he is there, that he is the God that will carry all of their fears and anxieties and desperations, and he will give a moment of clarity, a moment of peace, if we are people who hold on to faith. I want to encourage you to go and read this story in Mark chapter 5. Maybe read a few more chapters if you haven't read this gospel already. Spend time in the Word of God. Let Jesus reveal who he is and who he wants to be for you. It's hard for us in moments like this, in moments of fear and anxiety, not to give in to those fears and anxieties. I was at the grocery store about an hour after they had made the lockdown announcement, and I had to go to the grocery store anyway. And when I walked in the grocery store, it was still pretty calm and pretty mellow, and I kind of went through the vegetable area and went down by the meats. And by the time I got around to getting all the other things that I needed, the carts were about 10 deep at the checkout, and people were losing their minds in fear. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be prepared and that we shouldn't be concerned, but I think we have to find a balance because we are people who believe in a God who loves us. And I just feel like the words that God is sharing with me, and hopefully the words that I can share with you, is don't be afraid. I'm here. I'm in this with you. You're not alone. And if you need something, talk to me. I will calm your fears. I will give you what you need. Don't be afraid. I hope this message has encouraged you today. Let me pray for us, and then we'll go on with our week. Father, thank you so much for just meeting us in this place today. Thank you for sharing your word with us. We pray that we would take it into our lives and into our hearts, and that it would change us and affect us and make us people of deeper faith. May we hear your voice today that says, "Do not be afraid. I am with you." May we hold on to you. May we touch the end of your garment today and find our healing through faith. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for loving us. We pray this all in your name.